is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place.
Well, this morning I want to share and exhort you as we are going to have communion today, and we're going to share this cup and this bread. I want us to think about the Lord's body, the unity and the oneness of the Spirit that God is building amongst us and through us. And so though for those who are taking notes this morning, I've called this very simply sharing the load. Sharing the load. And we will find this in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. And I'd like to read this out to you. And as I've said, we're calling this sharing the load. Brethren, that means us, the redeemed of the Lord. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So there we are. I've called it this morning, sharing the load. Sharing the load. Now, this doesn't mean that we are to watch one another and to analyze one another. Because it says in verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is gentle, long-suffering, meek. Because he says, if you don't do it like that, if you do not do it by the Spirit, then you too could also fall in the same snare. And so the very one you are trying to encourage, strengthen, even take the load, the burden, if we do it in the wrong heart and the wrong spirit, you too could become the same victim. And so considering that, that should cause us to think twice before we take on that burden. Or if we see our brother or sister taken in that trespass, in that sin, we need to think twice. We need to seek the Lord, whether God wants to use us or not. You see, it's so easy to speak against another who is sinning. It is so easy to find the fault, not realizing that the beam is in our own eye. And Jesus very much labored in this towards the people and the disciples. And the reason being is because we have to stand right before God. Nothing can be corrected in the house of God or with an individual unless the church or individuals or ministry stands right before God. This is why so often we see where the church tries to bring in discipline or tries to correct or whatever it should do, and the Bible says it should do it, but sadly many times it goes wrong and could even come in divisions because there's still sin present. There's pride, hypocrisy. And when that is like that, then as Jesus said, you're no better than the scribes and the Pharisees. And so we have to seek God. And this is why it is important to share the load. We are to pray one for another, as James tells us, so that we may be healed. And so as a church who takes seriously that God says, my house is a house of prayer, you will find in much of that intercession, as we find it, that we're praying for situations. We're praying one for another. We're praying for the ministry. We're praying for the word that goes forth. We're praying the best, we're believing. We may see weaknesses. We may see things that are wrong. And so we are to get in prayer, pressing in, praying that there will come that change, that deliverance, that turning around. And so often we find that if a church is a church that prays, you won't have to do so much in trying to rectify or having to go up and say something, because the Holy Spirit very often goes forward, it goes before, and he will start to deal with a situation. This is why we're to share the load. It means that we share the burden. We share the burden that is to be found so often in intercession. As the Holy Spirit shows us, or he burdens us about something or someone. We know that we've just been going through that again just recently as an assembly, and are still bearing that burden for some of our brothers and sisters who at the moment are trespassing, that is, have fallen into the snare of the enemy, into sin. Because that's what it means. To trespass means to fall from the high standing, the mark, the standard that God sets. Now, no man or woman can meet that standard unless the blood of Christ attains for that, deals with that. Because what it does is it keeps us in the presence of God while the Holy Spirit works with us to bring that change, that deliverance. Because very often, to attain that standard, that mark, is not something that we get straight away. Very often we're being delivered, we're being worked upon to attain that standard. And very often, as we attain that standard, that mark, that is then where blessing comes. That is where faith is to be found. Because that's then when we can obey. Because without obedience, we cannot please God. And to obey, you have to attain that mark, that standard. Now, of course, the disciples said to the Lord, well, who can be saved? Might as well forget it. It's impossible. And this, of course, again, is where we walk by faith and not by sight. Because Jesus said, with man is it impossible, but with God all things are possible. You try and attain this, you try and do something about this, and you will fall completely flat on your face. As Jesus was trying to show the scribes and the Pharisees, he was showing them, you are trying to attain this through hypocrisy, through works, and you will never do it. And that's what religion tries to do. And that is why God is so opposed against religion, because religion tries to work out its own salvation on its own terms and merits. It brings God down to man's level, and God will never do that. That is why the Christian faith, the gospel, is so unique above every other religion or cult, because they are trying to attain to God. They are trying to work it out with good works, but we find with the Christian gospel, God came down to man in man's state. That is its good news. That is what gives us the hope. And there is the difference. All their prophets and good people and saints, they never did that. They were trying to work out their salvation. They were trying to be good. And there's the difference. That is why they're not divine. So this is showing us those that sin against the revealed will of God. So he says those who have missed the mark, who have trespassed, is speaking there those who have gone against the revealed will of God. And that is why it is important that we pray, we stand in the gap, we intercede, we desire to be used, if need be, to restore a brother or sister back into fellowship, into unity and oneness, because the reason is they are sinning against what they know to be right, to be true. That's what makes it serious. And that's why they have fallen from the standard. We're not dealing with ignorance. That is a different thing. God works with us. God is today, now, this moment, with each one of us, he's still working with blindness, ignorance, where we still don't see. There is still so much we don't see, and that's very humbling. Now, the proud, the arrogant would say, oh, well, of course I do, because I've got the Word of God, and I read it. I read it 3, 4, 5 hours a day. So I'm knowing what the will of God is. They are far, far removed. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't read the Word of God. But you cannot read the Word of God and understand the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit is the one who anoints you, the one who opens your eyes, the one who's working deliverance in your mind, in your intellect. You don't know otherwise. And so because we are being saved, we are being worked upon, we still stand here and sit here today in areas of ignorance, blindness. So therefore, God is not going to judge us in that same way. Whereas when we're dealing with a brother or sister who knows the will of God, but chooses or refuses not to do it. Now, of course, that is serious, because Jesus said that my spirit will not always wrestle with man. And that is why we need to supplicate. We need to stand in the gap. We need to ask God to have mercy. Lord, be suffering. Don't give up in this situation. Don't give up on this sister, this brother, Lord. And God will hear that. God will honor that. And God will use that, because principally this is what you're doing here. Brethren, if a man is overtaken by a trespass, a fault, you are a spiritual, restore one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. So it's in that right spirit. It's in that gentleness. It's showing mercy as God has shown mercy upon us. It's being patient, long-suffering, as sometimes you have to be. In this war, sometimes you just feel in your flesh, how long does this take? Why is it they cannot see? What is their problem? Well, of course, it isn't your problem, you see. But if you don't have the right heart and attitude, then you also can be tempted in those areas where you are weak. And that is the point, you see. Let's turn to Romans 15 and verse 1 in connection with this. Romans 15 and verse 1, he says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. And so he speaks about the weaknesses. He says, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses or scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So in sharing the load, it's not about ourselves, but it's about others. We're not pleasing ourselves. We're not putting ourselves first. For the sake of the unity and the oneness of the body. It's not something that I want to get out of it. And the trouble is that we have seen those who have come into this church with the wrong motive, the wrong attitude, because they want to get something out of it for themselves. Sadly, God sometimes has to remove them because they've come with the wrong motive. They have not come desiring to minister to their brother or sister. That desire to give, to share. You see? Because if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have the love of God within us. He's so great and so awesome and so powerful that we have enough to share of him. But something has gone wrong there that they can't really share. And so this is why we share the load. This is why we are bearers. This is why when we see loads, when we see weights, when we see trials, we want to share that load. So if a brother or sister is going through a trial or whatever it is, I want to help to make that burden lighter for my brother and sister. And so the first thing that you ever do is you get in prayer and intercession, and you find out how God is leading and guiding in that situation. This is what makes up the unity and the oneness of the body that is so important. What does it say also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we do everything by... Sorry, I've read the wrong one there. I'm sorry. It was Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3. That's applicable as well, I can assure you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing one with another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there we are. He says that is your calling, and your call with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing one with another in love. And it is, because it takes a long time. It seems to take centuries. Why do you do this? Because you're endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Christ's body can only be kept together if we endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit. Otherwise, he becomes divided. And if you are divided, you cannot stand. Why, even political parties know that principle. So it's very important. Let's also, with that, add 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 10 to 15. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So we see here again, sharing the load. We see a problem here that can be so often seen today. So human nature, things do not change, particularly where somebody is not taking the load, the burden, the responsibility. And if you don't do that, and you don't do it in marriage, then marriage breaks down. If you don't do it over your family or in a practical way, then it breaks down. We all have a responsibility. Father, who is head over the family, has a responsibility to work. And if these things break down, then it causes problems. But we take that same spiritual principle over into the house of God. and that we too are to take on those responsibilities and to be found faithful in the things that God calls us to do. Now, I say it so often, but these meetings don't happen unless saints who are faithful, taking on practical things, being faithful week after week, help to take on the burden, the load, so that the Spirit of God can minister. And it's important. It's vital. And God is practical. And so we see the various gifts in the church. And praise God, we've got a remnant who are faithful to those callings. And faithfully are there doing what God shows them to do week after week. For what purpose? To help share with the load. Cannot be left just to one person. And we see so often that that goes on amongst churches. It's the usual, doing the same thing, taking the burden, and others just ignoring their responsibility. The hour of season and time is gone for that now. And very sadly, we've even seen some who used to be here, no longer here anymore, because they were casting a blind eye to it. Just didn't want to take on the burden, the share, the load. With all due respect, what use are they in the house of God? None whatsoever. And that's where you will find people, they go from church to church, and the moment they find that they can get involved, to start to take on any responsibility, they up and move off somewhere else. And their whole lives are like that. And sadly, we see so many men today who are like that, who move from partner to partner, marriage to marriage, because they don't want to take on responsibility. That is characterized today by the spirit of this age. And that is why the Apostle Paul, he addressed the men first. Husbands, love your wives. And that loving is taking on the load, the responsibility, the burden. And yet we find today, many don't want it. And that's why families tragically split apart. Children are like they are, many of them being put into homes, out for adoptions and so on, because it's a breakup in the family life, not willing, not wanting to share the load. But of course, the enemy also knows another thing. We are experiencing and seeing now demonic activity being released into the world like we have never seen before. The Antichrist spirit, which is demonic, is releasing legions of demons into the world, into society, into family life, and so on. For what purpose? What do demons do? Demons will always thwart, hinder growth. That is their nature. They will hinder people emotionally, psychologically, educationally. And that is why today, sadly, we're seeing so much immature behavior coming out of people. The slightest thing and they erupt. Have you noticed, not that I again, certainly, I don't recommend it, but you know, you watch some of these programs and these soaps on television. All they do all the time is shout at one another. Screaming, reacting at the slightest little thing. That is displaying society, family life. The slightest little thing and out comes the abuse, all the foul language. You see it today in society. You walk around your streets. You see it in the shops. You see it from young people. Young people, so many of them now, can't even talk properly. Just profanity all the time come out of their mouth. These are demons being released now. In the last days, it's demonic. I don't care what they say to you. I don't care what psychologists say. They try to camouflage all of this. because they're not open to the spiritual realm. But you as believers are. And therefore, as we are told that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, you have got to learn that you are up against these, and you've got to get into warfare against these things. Whether it's around you, whether it's your neighbors next door, whether it's at school or a wrong teacher or whatever it would be, you will find that there's always demonic activity that's behind that. And our trouble is that we allow our emotions to get in. We allow to get all upset. And why is this happening and everything? And God is trying to get our attention and say, move beyond all of that. Move beyond your son's behavior and what he's up to. I want to show you what's trying to do that. It's demons. And yet the church is asleep to this. Frightened of it. Just like they were with Goliath, who was shouting all out those profanities against the nation of Israel. And not one of them could fight against him, except that little boy, King David. Why? Because he had seen into the spiritual realm. He had seen what his real weapons were in Christ. And yet so many of us in churches today are so blind to this. And we allow it to go on. Why is this happening, Lord? Why don't you do something about it? That's what we're crying out to God. We don't say it in so many words. And God is trying to get our attention and say, well, you can do something about it. I did it for you at Calvary. I provided it all for you. What is in your hand? What have I put in your hand? That spiritual rod. Now use it. And smite the waters and they will part. It's what he told Moses, and that's what he tells you, and that's what he tells me. God isn't going to have us coming belly aching before him. That is immaturity. He's telling us to grow up and take on responsibility. You will always know a Christian, how mature they are, very often by their prayer life, by their authority that they have before God. How they seek God. There are always signs that tell you of where a Christian is in maturity. And they are prepared to take on that load if need be. And so it is important, friends, that we break through in these areas. Well, let's move on in Galatians 6. Because that's where we're basing our teaching today, in Galatians 6. And he says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So here we come again, this idea of bearing, sharing. That would have made a good title, bearing and sharing. Now, let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts 20. If you want to see body ministry, you read the book of Acts. And there they were functioning. They knew their calling. Each member knew their calling and position in the body of Christ. In Acts 20 and verse 35, here it says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So there again, there is the motive. The motive is it more blessed to give than to receive? And sadly, we've had people in this church who don't really like giving, but they like receiving. And so we see the whole motive is wrong. You can't glorify God, and no way are you about to share the load or the burden. You're quite prepared to let the person sit next door to you take the load, but I'm blowed if I am. I've not come here for that reason. I've come here to take. And you have people who sadly, their motives are nothing but to take. And when they have that motives, you will find that they manipulate, they scheme, they are subtle, they are devious, those sort of people. Because all they want at the end of the day is they want to take, and they will take. And you'll see no clearer analogy of this than when rich Aunt Mabel dies and the will is drawn up, and you will see family that you never knew you had coming out of the cupboard. You'll think, well, where did they come from? You know, got wind that there's a will, and there's a bit of money there, and before you know where you are, oh, I'm your lost cousin. Oh, it's been so many years, I've missed you so much, you know? And they turn on all the flannel. They turn it all on, you know? What are they trying to do? They're trying to seduce you, because they have come for the wrong motives and reasons. That's why you see you have to have solicitors. You see power of attorney and all that sort of thing, because they know human nature. They know it, you see. And so God knows it. God knows that there are some who are put in by the enemy into the body, but they come for the wrong reasons, for self, for greed, for gain. And they can be quite demanding, those people. Wanting all the time. Whenever there's prayer requests, whatever it is, you'll always find, I would like prayer for this, I want prayer for that, I need prayer, I'm going through this, on and on. You'll find that the whole prayer meeting can be so dominated and motivated by that one person or a few. Now, it's not to say that we don't pray one for another. Of course we don't. But what you're seeing is there, they don't really believe. They're not in faith. They want you to do it all. Well, God will only allow that to go on for a season, and then he removes that, because what is behind all of that is demons. That is spirits in operation. And so the Bible tells us here to support the weak. Why? Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that is the motive of your giving. Whatever the situation, whatever might be presented to you, whatever the outcome might be, you have given because you saw a need. You have given because you've done it before the Lord for his glory. That is always the motive of why we give. And sometimes it can backfire. Sometimes you can give, you can share, you've gone that extra mile, and all that's happened is you've been kicked in the teeth. And it's easy to hold resentment. It's easy to say, well, if that's what giving is, I'm not going to do this anymore. We're being tested, you see. We've all of us been tested in some way or another. And then, praise God, you will find where, yes, you have blessed, you have been used, and you have seen the fruit of that giving. Because through that giving, you have seen how that person or that family or where the need was, how they have used that for the glory of God. You see? So it's not all negative, but you are at times tried in that area. What does it say in James chapter 2 and verse 8? James chapter 2 and verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. So he says, if you really desire to fulfill the royal law, then he says, you love your neighbor, your enemy. Because that is fulfilling the law. Because that covers a multitude of sins, you see. And so the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse us, and he cleanses us as we love, as we share the load, as we come with right motives to give and not to take. So we're fulfilling that royal law, pleases God, and that's what builds the unity, the oneness of the body. And as you see that being fulfilled, you're going to see healings and deliverances just flowing, because there's not schism, there's not disunity, and so on. What is really God doing? I suppose if I were to bring this into its conclusion, God is cleansing us for his presence. so that we can stand as a body before him. That's ultimately what he's doing. And sometimes it may mean that he has to put to one side a few in order to do that. And that can be very painful. But he's cleansing, because he's concerned about his presence, and his presence cannot be seen amongst defilement and division. That is the point. So moving on to verse 4, back in Galatians chapter 6, and verse 4, he says, "But let each one examine his own works, and then we will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So in this sharing the load, he says we will be judged on our works. As believers, we're not judged by sin, our sin, but we are judged by our works. So he says, let each one examine his or her own work. So is there a place where you examine yourself in the light of what you do? That is practically sharing the load. Why, the scriptures tell us, yes, there is. And the humble who walk before God will see that, because they'll be asking, "Lord, am I sharing the load? Please show me if I'm not being responsible also." And those that want to see it will see it and will move in to fulfill that area that is neglecting. So he tells us that. Now, this is very important for us to remember, because this principle lies right at the end when we have the great white throne judgment. And if you turn very quickly, briefly, to Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, he says here, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." So we have a book of life, and we also have many books. So I get the impression that each one who's ever lived, there is a book about that person. Every one of us, there is a book. And those books are brought forth to see whether what is in those books tallies up with what is in the book of life. In other words, the book of life is going to be like a register. And they're going to look down that register and find whether your name is in the register book or not. And they have to find out from that, from the book that is about you. And the book that is about you contains your works, how you have treated your neighbor, how you had respect over your mother, your father. Were you willing to share the load? Did you go that extra mile? Did you pray for your brother or sister who you saw was sinning or falling short? It just goes on. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. And he says here, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open." It's plural. The books were open. "And another book was open," that's singular, "which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead," so that's the whole of the world, the nations. "They give up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in it." So death and Hades, where the departed spirits are, that is released and brought before the great white throne judgment. And they were judged, each one according to his sins? No, works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. So if you're found in the second death, then you're cast into Hades. And I'm sorry, into hell. Because death, Hades, or Sheol, as we know it, is cast into the lake of fire. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. That's the final death. On the basis of works. Why is it works at the end of the day? Now, we're told that works don't save us. It's by faith that we're saved. But faith must produce works, fruit. Not the other way round. You cannot get faith in order to produce works. Faith has to be given. It's a gift. If faith is present through salvation, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then the works can start to come because you have the faith for it. That's what glorifies him. So we're told that it's by the works that the world is judged by. And so if they've tried to be good, then that's sin. We call it sin because it's unbelief. Unbelief tries to be good. Unbelief tries to work out its own salvation. Unbelief believes that being religious, doing religious things, can save me. It doesn't. Only by faith can you be saved. And so it is faith, then faith produces the fruits of salvation. And that includes sharing the load, loving your enemy. If you see a need, you help, you provide. And that is what saves you, your works before God. Now that might come as a bit of shock for some, but that's what the scriptures tell us. That is why I'm laboring over this, sharing the load. That is why unity, fellowship in the body of Christ is part of our salvation, making it in. Because that is why you're baptized into it, to function. And I have labored that with you for many years, so that we find our place in the body and we've glorified God. Because by finding our place in the body is very much dependent on our works. And our works glorify God and save us. Because by those works, by those fruit, Jesus said, you will know them. You don't know them by what they say. We've got good speakers, good talkers, many, many giving out a lot of hot air. But Jesus said that is not the way you know them. That is not the way they're going to be seen. That is not the way they glorify me. It's by their actions, their deeds. So that is why he says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So we then move on to see that these are to be our works and not another. So in other words, you cannot jump in on the bandwagon and expect by other people who labor, who take it all seriously, that you're going to get in on their works, their effort, their laboring. You are not. The scriptures don't tell us that. He says you'll have rejoicing in you alone. Let examine his own works. That is why you are to judge yourself. You are to examine yourself. You are to allow the Holy Spirit to search. You see? That is our responsibility. We've seen people come in who thought that they can go on and take it off other people, sponge off other people. And you can't. You can't. And God won't let that happen. And then he goes on to say, and he says, if you do that, then you will have rejoicing in yourself alone before me and not in another. In other words, you will have a testimony. You will have joy. You will have blessing. Some people are not blessed because they're trying to rob blessings from other people. That's why. That's why some people never break through. That is the sin they're committing right here. Because they try and jump on the bandwagon, and they're rejoicing is in somebody else's work who's done all the hard graft. You see it go along. You see it in society. You can see it in your own family. You can see it amongst siblings. You can see where, say, out of four brothers and sisters, two of them or three of them have helped parents, helped them, encouraged them financially, and you've got one or you've got two who jumps in on the bandwagon, doesn't do anything to help out, and yet it seems they take all the praise and all the glory. And boy, doesn't that cause disunity. There's a classic example, and it goes on amongst us in the house of God. Oh, look what I've done. I'm praying and interceding over us, someone at the moment, over exactly that same thing. Four of them, four siblings, selling a house because mother passed on. And there's a sister who rings the other sister. She controls her, dominates her, gives all abuse to her, and lets on, I loved mother, and I did this for her, I did that. And the one whom she's giving all the abuse to, she was the one that actually looked after her, gave up her job. Looked after her 24 hours a day. Provided. Took her out in the wheelchair. Took her out in the car. And yet she's the one that spouts it all off and gives all the abuse, all the control, and you're doing not doing this, you're not doing that. And she likes everybody else to know that she has sacrificed for her mother, and she never did. It's sheer hypocrisy. Absolute blindness. You've got it in families. Some of you shaking your heads because you've got it, you've had it going on. And here it is, it can go on subtly in the house of God. We're all spiritual siblings before God. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is why no real joy comes out of them. That is why they're oppressed and depressed. Because he says, you will have rejoicing in what you do. But others who jump on the bandwagon, they're oppressed. And that's why I always say, you can tell where a saint is in this walk, because praise, worship reveals it. It does. I'm not saying that sometimes you can go through a trial or whatever it is, but if you see a continual up and down heaviness, finding it difficult to praise and worship God and entering in and everything, you're seeing oppression there. That's demonic. That's working. You need to be your own person in Christ. That is a spiritual saint. When they can say, that person is their own man, is their own woman before God. That's what glorifies God. And that's what he's working with each of you. Because the enemies see that, the demons see that. Because they see you can't be manipulated, you can't be controlled, you can't be deceived. You see? That's just the powers of darkness speaking out. When you're your own man or your own woman in Christ, that's a clear sign you're maturing and growing up. Hallelujah. You see, it's easy to take these recognitions when other people are slaving away. Husbands, watch out. It's so easy when you have the family round and you have a nice lunch and out comes the beef and you've got the carving knife there and you start to cut it and everything. And you share and put it out on the plate. And then you hear all the comments. Wow, this is lovely beef you've cut here and put on our plate. And the wife thinking to herself, hang on a minute, I've been slaving 3 hours in the kitchen, they're cooking that, and he's the one getting all the recognition. Does it sound familiar? Of course it is, we're getting laughs here. Law said, okay, that's going on, but I haven't forgotten you. I saw who you did that unto. You did it unto me, really. You see? We all of us have to overcome that sort of thing. What does it say in Romans 14:12 now as we bring this to a close? Romans 14 and verse 12. Here he says, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God, or before God. And we will. You try passing the buck, and you bear the consequences. And Adam did precisely that. And as a result of it, both he and Eve were cast out of the presence of God. He passed the buck, you see? And that's ultimately what it's doing when you are not willing to share the load. And that's why God works with us on responsibility. And many today are just forfeiting now their responsibility. They don't want it. That's why fundamentally society is gradually breaking down. Let's make no lies about it. I'm sorry if it offends, but the reality is, and the Bible shows us, that society will and is breaking down. It doesn't want to grow up. It doesn't want to be responsible. And so that's why governments have now come in. We call it the nanny state. You know, trying to take over when it's man's responsibility. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust that that's spoken to us. Yes, maybe challenged us, but also encouraged us. Also opened our eyes to see the age in which we live in. It's interesting with those five verses that we've looked at, because Paul then goes on about what you sow is what you reap. And so with what he shared there, he said if you sow that, you're going to reap it. And sadly, families, societies, governments are reaping this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's prepare our hearts now for this sharing of communion, of the bread and the wine, because this signifies our unity. This signifies that we are willing to share the burden. We are willing to go that extra mile for our brother and sister, all for the sake of the unity and the oneness and the fellowship in the body of Christ. Hallelujah.